chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We have a beautiful day ahead of us, and what better way to start that day than by being together in the presence of God and remembering what Jesus has done for us and opening His Word and seeing what He has to say to us. There's an important transition that takes place here in Acts chapter 11. Earlier part of Acts, the focus is on the church in Jerusalem. And here it shifts to the church in Antioch. There's also a shift on who it's focusing on. It goes from focusing on the Apostle Peter and his work of teaching and preaching, and to the Apostle Paul later on. And it also shifts from focusing on who the audience, the major recipients of the gospel is, from the Jews here in chapter 11 to the Gentiles. And so from this point on, the church in Antioch receives much more attention because it's the home church, if you will, the home base of the Apostle Paul as he preaches and as he teaches. As he goes out, the church in Antioch is going to send him on his missionary journeys. I believe we're having a repeat of last week, technology-wise. So we're working on getting that settled. If it doesn't, that's okay. If it does, that's great. But hopefully that's not distracting to you, as it is to me. So this morning we're going to be focusing on the church in Antioch as we look at the snapshots of Christ's church. Really quickly, just want to share with you some fast facts about the church at Antioch and about Antioch itself. You may not know this, but the city of Antioch was the third largest city in the whole Roman Empire. We often don't realize that. The first largest was, of course, Rome. Second largest was Alexandria down in Egypt. But the third largest was Antioch. And I think that helps us appreciate the number of people that were there. The population in Paul's day would have been about 500,000 people in this one city. And so you can see why Paul is there for quite some time, because he is preaching to those many people. And wait, I don't think it's going to work today at all. So we'll just not even attempt that. We also need to realize that the Church of Antioch was the first predominantly Gentile church. Every church up to this point was predominantly Jewish. But it's here in chapter 11 that the church in Antioch begins welcoming Gentiles into its midst as they become Christians and are obeying the gospel. And it's also here, as we read in Acts 11 earlier, that this is the first place where the label Christian is used. I mean, we use that term more than any other term to describe who we are as a people, but it was first here in Antioch, Acts 11, verse 26, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And probably this was a derogatory term, as it's used later on in 1 Peter chapter 4. So probably the people were looking at Christians in a derogatory way and kind of attached that as a derogatory label on them. But the one thing that I want you to notice about the church at Antioch, the one thing that stands out to me is their focus on teaching. They were a church that was devoted to teaching and preaching. In just about every passage that you look at in the book of Acts that talks about the church at Antioch, there's something in that passage about its teaching. And so I believe this morning I want to present the church at Antioch as a model for what it looks like that a church is devoted to fulfilling the Great Commission. You might remember that Jesus commissions us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so, you know, we often look at the Great Commission as a commission to go out and to do evangelism, and it is. But the Great Commission is much more than that. The Great Commission commands us as individuals and as churches to teach what God wants us to do. So if you'll read with me here, Acts chapter 11, verse 19, we'll just begin there. I want you to notice a couple things in this passage about their teaching. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one but Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Notice that the church at Antioch was established through teaching the word of the Lord. In verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. If you go a couple chapters to chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, it says in verse 1, "Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul." And so you see that there are prophets and teachers there, and it's at this point that the Holy Spirit sends out Saul and Barnabas to spread the gospel and to teach the word of the Lord. And then if you go to chapter 15, the end of the chapter, towards the end of the chapter, Acts chapter 15, verse 35, this is after the Jerusalem Council, when they come together to discuss the question about circumcision. Paul and Barnabas were sent back to Antioch to carry the message, carry the letter that was written by the elders and apostles in Jerusalem. It says, "But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord." So just about every time you find the church at Antioch being spoken of in the book of Acts, they're doing teaching. They're involved in teaching. We see that Antioch was established through teaching. The church grew through teaching. Antioch spread the gospel by teaching, and they endured through teaching. And those are going to be the main points of the lesson this morning. So let's break that down. Let's go back to chapter 11, and let's talk about how churches are established through teaching. Churches are established through teaching. You see in verse 19 of chapter 11 that those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to these various places. So the persecution he's talking about is that which was described in chapter 8. When Stephen was stoned, there began a great persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and they scattered. They went their way. And here's a reminder to us as disciples of the Lord that efforts to silence us must never be successful. Efforts to silence the early Christians did exactly the opposite. Instead of being silenced and shutting down, they opened up and they presented the word. Wherever they went, they spoke the word of the Lord. We must not remain silent about our faith. There's one thing we need to remember is that teaching involves speaking. It involves opening our mouths. So if we're going to establish churches, we have to do teaching. Notice what they were focusing on in their message in verses 19 and 20. At the end of verse 20, they were speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. The focus of our teaching always has to be Christ. He is the focal point of the gospel. He is what it's all about. We get distracted by a lot of other things and a lot of other topics and issues, whether it be politics or what's happening in the day. And those things are important in as much as they relate to our walk with the Lord. But everything that we do in our teaching and on our preaching needs to be about Christ. He is the center of our message. Our goal, remember, is to make disciples. How do we do that except pointing people's hearts to Christ and showing them His authority and teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded us? This is how we make disciples, by preaching the Lord Jesus. But the one big thing that I want you to notice here in the first part of this section is who they were preaching to. In verse 19, these men were preaching only to the Jews. But in verse 20, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they began speaking to the Greeks also. And here in Acts, this is where we come to that transition, that dividing point in the book. In Acts chapter 10, it's Cornelius and his family receiving the gospel, the first Gentile converts. And in chapter 11, Peter receives some questions about that, and he has to explain why he did that. And so up to this point, it's primarily been Jews, but some courageous souls went further. And because of the conversion of Cornelius, they began to cross those social boundaries and speak and teach to the Gentiles. We do not appreciate today how revolutionary that would have been. For you as a Jew to go and talk to a Gentile, not only talk to them, but teach them about the Bible and invite them into your home or invite them into your church assembly without becoming